Good evening, folks. Today is the 1st of October, 1970. And it's been one of the better days I've had in the last, 3 weeks. I'm sitting here using a buddy of mine's tape recorder. It's quite similar to the one that I've got there at the house. It's a Ikai, but it's a 500W. It's a tape recorder and not a deck. I'm sitting here listening to what I'm saying over a headphone set. It's not stereo. It is a monaural, one track. But it should sound a lot better than if you were listening. What the heck that is? Some kind of racket around here. Wait one. Oh, I'm gonna stop here. I heard some kind of weird racket. No joke. Yeah, guess what? I'm going crazy in my old age too. I guess. I don't know. Well, anyhow, as I was saying, I'm using a buddy of mine's tape recorder. It's quite similar to mine, and it's a. I think it'll sound a lot better than this little bitty rinky-dink tape recorder I've got. It's better speakers and. It's just better altogether. It'd probably sound more like myself than if I were using I still hear a weird noise. I don't know what it is. Maybe feedback that I'm getting through this headphone. I don't know. I didn't think I was getting feedback at all though. Can't ever tell though, really. I was just saying today's second time I've flown since I came back from Sydney. I had the flu one day. Well, I say one day. I had the flu part of one day. Excuse me. I caught the flu one evening about 5 o'clock. And the doctor, about 5:30, he gave me some pills. And at 10 o'clock the same night, I was over. I had a bad fever and I was aching all over. Didn't have any cold or upset stomach or diarrhea or anything. But gave me some pills. By 10 o'clock that night, I was over my flu. I didn't have any headache or anything else. But I got upset stomach, you know, throwing up diarrhea later on that night. But as far as feeling, I felt all right. And I've been, you know, sick that one, well, say one full day, really. I didn't fly any at all for that day. And when I was put on duty to fly, aircraft to go down there, they didn't give us a mission. So I've been on the ground most all the time. I've got an hour and 45 minutes in the past 26 days, I guess. 26 days I've flown, an hour and 45 minutes. I'm about to go out of my tree. I mean, I'm about to go slapper-dab crazy, sitting here on the ground, nothing to do. And it really gets to me sometimes. I've told the people in maintenance that I thought I'd come down there and do some test flying with them just to get away, get some flight time. I mean, I've got to get my 4 hours a month. No, really no need to get more than 4 hours a month. Anything over that is, you're not getting paid for. That's what they pay you for, 4 hours a month. And once you get your 4 hours in, everything else is free, you know. Well, I got your letter today, and that you told me how much money I'd spent, and how much I would have had, and all this good stuff. Well, like you say, I can't take it with me, so I might as well enjoy it. And I think that's what I'll be doing, is enjoying it. And I'm sorry I keep, complaining about you not hearing from Fisher. I have written Fisher. I got an answer from him. About 3 days ago. I wrote him the 1st of September. 31st of August or something like that. Anyway, I got a letter a few days ago before I wrote you the last time. And they had mailed my unit on the 17th of July. That's quite a bit later than around the middle of June, like that we're supposed to get it. They have mailed it, and you say it's still not got to the place. That's the 25th. So that's nearly 75 days. Anything that doesn't get through the mail in 75 days is considered lost or stolen. I talked to the JAG officer about it, a judge advocate. He, same thing, he's a lawyer. He advised me to talk to post office. I talked to the post office over here at Tweewaw, and they advised me to write Fisher again and tell him of the problem, but I hadn't got my unit. And it's their responsibility for them to get me the unit safely. So I wrote and told them if I didn't hear something favorable within 15 days of them either turning in the claims and or replacing my unit, that I was going to start legal action. And that's exactly what I mean. I'm going to start legal action. I can't afford to lose $400 on a stereo component. What I imagine happened, someone saw it in the mail and knew exactly what it was and decided, well, I'll just keep this, you know, and let the old government pay for another one. So, I'm going to get it, you know. I don't care if I have to go to quite a bit. I'm going to get my amplifier back. So, I expect within the next few days at least, you'll have heard from Fisher. They may even send somebody out to investigate. But I'm sure there'll be a trace on it. I wrote him a quite dramatic letter, I guess you would say. And I'm sure there'll be some kind of reply on it. And I wrote Senator John Tower a letter here about a week ago. Oh, about a couple of weeks before I went to Sydney, I started growing me some handlebars. They were nearly as nice as what I had when I was home. And came back, and we had a new company commander, Major Wells. He's a newbie major. I think he made major just a month or so before he got here. And this is his first job as a company commander. So I think that he was really trying to try out his wings, his authority more than anything else. But he told me that I would shave my handlebars off, whether they were within the regulations or not. And I maintained that they were within regulations, so he couldn't show me a regulation where I was incorrect. So it nearly came to a knockdown and drag out. Had I known, well, I'll take it this way. I think that if I'd have stuck to my guns, I probably could have kept my mustache the way it was. He would have offered me an Article 15. Had I refused it, the only thing he could do is put me for a court-martial. And you have to make an application for a court-martial. And for an officer, it must be by a general officer or above. So that means at least the 1st Brigade Commander or someone like you, Sir V, would have to review the application for my court-martial. And whenever it would be, the court-martial was about refusing to shave handlebars off, they'd have laughed at it and thrown it away. So I could have beat a court-martial, no doubt. But there's something that just between a court-martial and an Article 15 for an officer, and that is an official letter of recommend. And I'm sure that's what I've got. It's a black mark that stays on your record at all times. It's like I said, well, Johnny was a no-no, and I'm putting this in this book to say he was a bad guy. So I'm sure that's what I would have got, an official letter of reprimand. And that would have been nearly as bad as a court-martial for me. Since I do think that I may be going back into the Navy once I get out of college. This would really hurt my chances. I'm not an idiot, maybe a fool, but I'm not an idiot. So I didn't really push the mustache. I let the old man know that I wasn't happy with his decision. I didn't let him know that I wrote Senator John Tyler. And these congressmen sort of groove on getting letters from Mommy's little boy back in Vietnam fighting his heart out and all this good stuff. They sort of like getting letters from the GIs and having them groan and complain about how they're mistreated and stuff in Vietnam by the officers. If they're for the Vietnam War, not much to their argument for against it, you know. They can always come up with so many cases of this or that and the other. While I was down maintenance, I had a man working for me in sheet metal, and he wrote his congressman about having to work so many, well, not about having to work so many hours, but having to be down on the job so many long hours, a lot of the time without anything to do. And they did have a congressional investigation down. It did scare a lot of people. They tried to get me to... Wait just a second. I don't know, maybe you hear this thing. I don't know what it is. Put these earphones on. And it's sort of hard for me to hear. There's something. There's really something. Oh, I know what it is. I got this old fan in my room. And it's making this weird noise, I guess. Anyway, get back to the war story. He did have an investigation. And whenever you write a letter to your senator, I think the way that the letter comes back down through channels is, okay now, General, we got this letter from this spec forward, this warrant officer over in Vietnam. And he's raising Cain about this now. Here's his letter, and here's a form I want you to fill out. I expect it back within 30 days or 10 days or however long he wants to. So this general, he's sitting up there in Washington, D.C. in the Pentagon, and he don't know this spec for this warrant officer in Vietnam to care less, you know, but he's got to keep these politicians happy. You know, they keep him in power, you know, so to speak. And the general is always trying to sell these congressmen weapons and stuff. Anyway, get on with the story. The general forwards it on down to USAV headquarters in Vietnam, which that's the main head honchos over here. And they forward it on down through 1st Brigade. 1st Brigade got a general down there, and he gets all excited because somebody in his 1st Brigade wrote to a congressman. And he sends it down to the 17th Group. 17th Group, he's excited because there's a man in his group that wrote his congressman. He forged it down to the 268th Battalion. Now, there's a man right across the street from me, wrote his congressman, I'm going to check into this, and gets down to company commander. The old man. Oh, one of my men wrote his congressman, I'm mistreating one of my men. I didn't know that. He's always the last one to know. I could have told him if he'd have asked me, but they don't ask it. They don't ask people then to know. They've got to be the last ones to find out. So it brings repercussions on what we call the establishment, are the lifers, those in the know, those in power. So you make a lot of people sit up and get noticed. I didn't write the letter to Senator John Tyler because I had to shave the mustache, but it was the idea of infringing on the rights and the dignity of an individual. Because a man outranked you, or outranked several people, that he could impose his wishes upon you at his will. Whether he was right or wrong, he could do this to you. Whether he was right or wrong, according to the regulations, he had absolute authority to say what your appearance would be like, even though you were neat and trim and you kept it within regulations. And As of today, I've got 66 or 67 days left in the Army. Well, 66. And I could really care how much trouble I cause on a major, or general as far as that's concerned. But it's just the idea of them infringing upon me, for one, and a lot of these enlisted men, they have no say-so. They have none whatsoever. And it really bugs me. It really does. So I've decided that I said if I can't sort of stir up a hornet's nest, I figure within, I wrote this about a week ago, I guess, 5, 6, 8 days ago. Week, I guess it was a week ago. And I figure within the next 14, 21 days, I'll have heard something about it. And, the kid can't get in trouble for writing his congressman. They may look down their noses sideways at me, but that's about as far as they can go. I didn't really want to write him, but I decided I would. I appealed more on the human interest side of, I tried to appeal on the human interest side of Senator Tyler than I did on the issue at hand. I told him the mustache Hannibal was not an issue per se. But it was an issue.